We're bombarded by news, by information. It's everywhere. It's at all times of the night and day. I've got to that age where I can remember that the TV screen used to disappear into a tiny little dot last thing at night. That never happens now. It's going all the time. And because we're bombarded with so much, it's hard to know what to believe. How do we respond to everything that we hear? Some of the so-called news is fairly obviously not right. And the term fake news has become just a part of our vocabulary. Isn't it interesting that some of those who complain most about it are often those who peddle it the most? But that's another story. Other news is at least based on truth, but it's been given a spin to suit the agenda of someone who's passing on that news, or a group who are sharing that news. To counter all of this, we see the rise of different reality checks. News is checked against available evidence, and we do need to be careful. Fake news, half-truth, can be at least, or at best, misleading, and at worst, absolutely downright dangerous. So where do we find truth? It seems to me that just now people are everywhere looking for news that is both true and news which offers hope. And so, as I've said, when you ask people how they are, they will often say things like, "I'm okay, I'm gonna get through this." Or, "There are people worse off than I am." And both those are true, and they do help us to get through into some get things into some sort of perspective in our lives, but they don't lessen our pain. They don't make us feel any less isolated. But our temptation is to duck the big issues which face us. And as I've said, this is where the Psalms of Lament help us, for they are so realistic. The psalmist doesn't pretend that life is always easy, that life is always okay. As you read through the Psalms, you find the psalmist's expressing all of the emotions that we feel. So there's anger, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's disappointment, there's isolation, all of which sound very familiar to us, and perhaps especially so in these days. The psalmist is honest with God, and that psalm which Johnny read for us, just this refrain of how long, how long, how long, how long is this going to go on? How long will we have to put up with this? How long will I go through this? He's honest with God. He wonders if God's forgotten about him. Has God hidden his face from him? Has God stopped smiling on him? How long will he have to struggle with all of the thoughts that mill around in his own head? How long will he carry around a burden of sorrow? But the psalmist doesn't bury his head in the sand and pretend that these things aren't happening. He's honest with God and himself, and he pours out his heart to God. But again, he doesn't stop there. To stop there would simply be a poor me thing, an exercise in self-pity. And all that would be so easy to get up to. Wouldn't it be so easy just to wallow in poor me thoughts? But the psalmist turns his thoughts towards God and says, "I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Life is painful. Life is uncertain. But God is unfailing in his love. God's love hasn't been overwhelmed by what the psalmist is going through. His salvation hasn't been snatched away by his circumstances. He knows that God has been good to him. And there's the psalmist's hope. His hope is in God. His hope is not in the way things used to be, the good old days. His hope is not in the fact that other people are having a worse time than he is. His hope is not in the fact that he hopes to come through this. His hope is in God, and God never has and never will let him down. Don't get stuck in that pity party. Turn back to God and in him find real hope. There's no doubt that COVID-19 has done a huge amount of damage. But it hasn't diminished God's love for you. Neither has it damaged his salvation. It has not reduced his goodness. It has done many things, but it cannot change the character and nature of God and his love for you. Quite a few people have quoted C.S. Lewis recently in different things, and especially one quote which says this: "We can ignore pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse the deaf world." So why would God be rousing us? Is he rousing us so that we can toughen up and get on with it? No, I don't think so. He's rousing us so that we listen to him and turn to him and find our hope and our confidence and our assurance in him. Turn to him with open, honest hearts, praying that we, like the psalmist, will come to know his unfailing love and experience that salvation which he offers to us through his son Jesus Christ. Over the past couple of weeks, we've had a look at the life of the early church as we see it in the end of Acts chapter 2. We've seen the church learning together as they gather around God's word. We've seen them having fellowship together as they grow and encourage each other. We've seen them worshiping together, but they also reached out to the world around them. Let me read to you from the end of Acts chapter 2. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They didn't seem to have a week of special services or a series of evangelistic meetings. They simply were the church. They learned together from God's word. They had fellowship together. They worshiped together. And we read they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And listen to this: the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church was growing. The church was blossoming as God's people behaved and lived as God's people. Matt appropriately read for us from Matthew's gospel there, where Jesus uses two illustrations of what it is to be the church. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. In other words, you are distinctive. You're different. You stand out. You know when salt has been added to your food, because there's a flavor there. It's preserving, it's flavoring. You know saltiness, it's distinctive. And if salt didn't have that saltiness, well, it's useless. You wouldn't have it in your cupboard. You would just throw it out. It's distinctive. And you know when a light, even a tiny little light, has been lit in a dark place. It just shines out in that darkness. Salt and light are distinctive. They make a difference. And so Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Living in a distinctive way leads people around you to glorify God. So how do we live distinctive lives in these very different and often very difficult days? Well, I don't think we do it by either avoiding the truth or playing it down. We don't pretend that we're not going through this. We don't pretend that life is easy, that come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. We shouldn't be pretending it. But we bring our pain, our anxiety, our fear, our isolation, our grief to the God of all compassion. And then we live in a way which shows that our hope is not going back to how things used to be. Our hope is in God and in Him alone. And when that is true, we can live distinctively different lives and cause others to glorify God. When you experience what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. It's not changed to become irrelevant. It's transformed to be the salt and light which we're called to be. Will you allow Jesus to so transform your life that you will be distinctive where God has placed you? In the maelstrom of fake news and spin, where do we find truth and hope? We find truth and hope in Jesus Christ supremely. For in Jesus we have the best news in the world for the hardest moments in the world, the best care, the best comfort. The very heart of the gospel is that through Christ, God rescues guilty sinners, you, me, all of us. There is our hope. And when we truly understand that, when we receive God's grace offered to us in Jesus Christ, our lives are so transformed that we are distinctive people and live distinctively where God sets us. At the start of this year, and boy, we've been through so much that seems like a long time ago, we thought a lot about the prayer of John the Baptist, where John simply prayed, "He, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become less." It's not about us. It's not about our ability to battle through. It's not about our ability to stay chirpy. It's not about us when we do good deeds. It's all about the God who offers us eternal life in Jesus Christ. The God who promises never to leave us or forsake us. And when we live trusting in Him, then we are distinctive in this world. Then we are truly salt and light. So may God give us the grace not only to do those good deeds that we do for His glory. This week has been remarkable in the amount of money that has been given towards our payment for Eswatini. People have been so generous, but the need continues. Please, please continue to support that appeal, that payment. People do fill that shopping trolley, and I know that tomorrow morning it'll be overflowing again. Those good deeds, all those little acts of kindness that are done throughout our community, continue to do those for His glory. But may you also have that grace to be able to tell others what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. May you be able to relate to others with something of the grace with which God has redeemed you. And when we do that, we live lives that are distinctive, not because we're odd or irrelevant, but because our confidence, our hope, our trust is in God. Shall we pray together? Eternal God, we thank you that your name is a strong tower. And so, Lord, help us, we pray, to turn to you, to run to you, and in you to find true safety. And from that safety, Lord, then help us to serve those around us for the praise of your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.